Dear Lord, merciful God, the scripture you are going to hear is one that keeps people in the faith up for centuries. It shows how great you are and faithful you are to us. Over and over, you have forgiven us for our sins and gave us Jesus who died for our sins. Thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord God, the power of your Spirit enlightens our eyes and our minds. Rejoice our hearts and revive our souls so that our lips and our lives may bear witness to your word. Amen.
Might be a good thing that I don't have much space to wander off this morning. So last Friday, Pete and I were just sitting down and he's going through Facebook and he saw on our Facebook page a posting that Emily's put up there. And he read it and I said, Debbie, this is so good. And he said, you gotta check this out. So I looked at it and I read the quote, and at the bottom it says, Peter Salinger, Ministry Outreach Coordinator. I looked at him, when did you say this? I don't remember ever hearing you saying that. He said, Debbie, that was in the message last week. As a matter of fact, you gave me those words to say. I said, yeah, it's good, all right. But You know, he did an awesome job last week, right? Was the Holy Spirit on him last week? Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, so this week we're going to continue with this series, When Life Gives You. You heard my husband, I guess I can say student, told us last week that lemons are avenues to our spiritual growth. And working through Romans 5, we heard that through perseverance, God can use these lemons in our lives and grow us closer to him. So today we want to continue with our series, When Life Gives You Lemons. Has anybody here ever had any problems? Any obstacles? I don't know, some challenges? Have you? Because if you don't, I can just say Jesus loves you and go home right now. But at least you have heard the phrase, when life gives you lemon, you make lemonade. Absolutely. But to be honest, sometimes when these lemons are coming at you, I don't know about you, but sometimes when they're coming, I just want to throw them back. Just throw them back. Maybe just take a grinder and squeeze daylight out of them and send them to nowhere land. I don't know. But the thing is, they come. It happens in our lives. We can't run away from them. We can't outrun them. You see, but at the rest, we have some words from our Lord, and I think Peter said it last week, so I'm going to remind you again from John 16, 33, when Jesus gave us this assurance that in this world, we will have trouble. But he didn't stop there, did he? He said, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I don't know about you, but I have anxiety. I go through health crisis. I go through financial crisis. I go through depression and dismal disappointment, and it goes on and on. But in the scriptures that I'm about to talk to you about, there's so much days, so much so part of my life. I live it because I run to it so many times that one day we were in Ross. I think I showed this, tell you this already. My little Felicia came running down with this stone. So, mommy, mommy, this has the words that you always say and tell us to live by. The Lord is my shepherd. You see, at a young age, my little one knew that anytime I'm going through a difficult time, I can turn to those words. Because the minute you hear the Lord is my shepherd, you're saying the rest of that psalm to give me comfort. So today we are going to look at these together, these 110 words, these 7 sentences of Psalms 23. You can look in your pew Bibles on page 544 to follow along. 544, you pull out your phones. Whatever you have, we're going to go through these words a little bit slower. And of course, they will be on the screen. The NIV version we're going to use. I'm a King James kind of girl, but sometimes you have to get a new version to get a fresh look on the word. Amen? So let's go. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to stop there a little bit. Let's make that, say that together. The Lord is my shepherd. Because that's a confession. David is confessing right there at the beginning, the Lord is my shepherd. It declares a commitment and trust. I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. You know, I want to pause there a little bit. I think I'm going to need this. I'm going to pause there a little bit because I want you to notice something. David is referencing God in the third person. I want you to hear it because this is powerful. Listen, he said, he makes me to lie down. He leads me. He guides me. What David is doing here, my friends, is talking about God. So let's continue in verse 4 and 5 and see what he has to say. Because now he shifts to the first person. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. We see here that David switches from talking about God to talking to God. But I want you to think about this for a minute. Why did he switch? And why specifically between what happens between verse 4 and 5? I want to say, he didn't come in and say, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, he is with me. He is my rod and my staff. His staff, they comfort me. No, I believe that this shift happens because this is where David is speaking of his own valley. Speaking of his crisis moment, speaking of the time where he's going through this lowest and the most difficult time, a time where some lemons just keep coming at him from left and right. I want to believe he switched that because he needs to get personal now. And this is what he does. When we're doing it too. When things are nice and going, think that we're talking about God or praise about God when it's all nice and dandy, when the grass is green and everything is peaceful, we tend to talk about God. But when things get rough, we're going to God. You, God, You can do this. You said you will. You. We do it too. You know, you said you're going to help me with some food. Where's the food? You said you're a healer. Why is this cancer coming back to me? My God, why thou have faith forsaken me? Even Jesus in his valley moment was talking to God. And it is in those times we realize that the right path of righteousness do not protect us from the valley. Those right paths don't protect us from the valley. You know, I like what there's this author, and who happens to be a shepherd from Australian Shepherd. He wrote this little book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalms 23, and he describes these times in the valley these shepherds are going through as, during this time, the flock is entirely alone with the shepherd. They're in an intimate contact with him and under the most personal attention day and night. And it is well to remember that all of this is done against the dramatic background of wild mountains, rushing rivers, alpine meadows, and high rangeland. Near the intimacy in it, night and day, just he alone, the shepherd alone with the sheep, with danger all around him. It is in those valley times something happens in our lives, my friend. It is in those valley times the intimate relationships are born for God. In the light, we tend to wander like sheep and going out to looking for green pastures. But in those dark moments, we're prone to stick to the shepherd. It is in those times the sheep is completely dependent upon the shepherd. I wonder if anybody knew about those times. You know, Mama used to say in those dark midnight hours when you need to go down deep and you're calling and letting everything out to the Lord, talking to him, because it's nobody else but you and him. When you're thinking about all these things, in those times, my friends, when God does the most profound and transformative work in our lives, it was true for David, and it is true for us. How many of us know that when we're in the valley, we have a choice? We have a choice. We can either run away from it, the avoidance thing, or we can get mad at God, blame him for everything and just sit there with that. Or we can run into the bosom of the shepherd. Friends, I want to encourage you today. When life is giving you lemons, run to our shepherd. We declared it. The Lord is my shepherd. He's right there ready to lead you to comfort. Stay close with him. Grab onto the tip of his garments, for he promised that he will never leave you or forsake you. Because that's what David does. And he went on and closed the psalm and returning to the first place, ending with a promise. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you look at this psalm structurally, you'll notice that in the beginning and the end were the only two times that the Lord is mentioned, and in between there's life. In between there's life. So are you facing any lemons today? I want you to remind you a few things. I want you to remember that God allows time in the valley. If you were to take notes, some of you might be doing that, a mental note. This is one of those things you jot down. God allows time in the valley. If in the first few verses of Psalms 22, David did paint a beautiful picture of green pastures and quiet waters. But in verse 4, and it doesn't, but when we get to verse 4, it doesn't seem to fit with this kind of talk, does it? It doesn't seem to fit with this beautiful green pastures and still water. It's about a dangerous place. We're in our lives. Are dangers unless the shepherd is there to be alert and attentive. We get to those points. And when, if you read anything about the shepherds and why they go through the valley, and do is they're moving them from season to season. And this is the rod and the club. The rod was like a club to save them from attack. And the staff to lead them back. It's dangerous. They're expecting danger in that place. But now, why the valley? This is what Peter talked about, my moment in the scriptures. Okay, that sometimes you need to read it again with fresh eyes. That's why I went to NIV. Why this valley? Why are they taking through the valley? There's got to be some safer route to go. It's because the shepherd led them there. I want you to think about this for a moment, because there is a connection between verse 3 and 4. Remember, verse 3 says, he guides me along the right path, or some version, my preferred version, the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then he says, even though I walk through the darkest valley. Friends, the path through the valley is also one of the ways, one of the right ways, one of the right ways of righteousness. In the valley, we know that valleys are between mountains, but you have to go through that valley sometime to get to the mountaintop. Time in the valley is preparing you for what comes ahead. It's preparing you for a better. It's preparing you for those mountaintop experiences. You have heard me say it more time and time again. Time in the wilderness is not wasted time. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, it wasn't wasted time. They were making relationships. They were getting, the new generation was birthed to meet the new Lord. A relationship with God. Those times are preparation times. Yeah, when those lemons are coming at you, yeah, you want to throw them away and pretend they're not there and just go, holy, holy, God Almighty, it is good. We want to sit in those pretty places. But that's not real, is it? That's not reality. But I want to tell you that those times, what you're going through right now, what you're going through right now, is just God preparing you to climb up to higher grounds. I love how Killer, the same guy in the book, I read this whole book this week and I couldn't get out of it. In the Christian life, this is what he says. In the Christian life, we often speak of wanting to move onto higher grounds with God. How we long to live above the lowlands of life. We want to get beyond the common ground and to enter into a more intimate walk with God. We speak of mountaintop experiences and we envy those who have already ascended the heights and enter in such a sublime sort of life. Now watch this. This is where it continues. Often we get an erroneous idea about how this takes place. It is as though we imagine that we were here lifted up to higher grounds. On the rough trails of Christian life, this is not so. You and I know that. As with ordinary sheep management, so with God's people. One only gains higher grounds by climbing up through the valleys. Every mountain has its valleys. Its sides are scarred by deep ravines and gushes and drawers. And the best route to the top is always through these valleys. Can you hear that? The best road to the top is through these valleys. And picking up from last, this is what Paul was talking about. When you go through that and persevere through, you're coming out with so much hope for your tomorrows. Because you already putting on my counseling, my psychology hat. Because when you go through that, you are sure now, I can take it. I can, what come, I know how to handle that. You're better emotionally. That's how connective behavior therapy works. You experience it, then you say, okay, I'm fine. I'm good. Can we get an amen? Okay, my loves, God is leading us through the valley. Remember, it is through the valley. It is not some place you're going to camp out or stay and get stuck. It is going through the valley. Because even though I walk through the darkest valley, he is leading me through. God wants to teach you today, my friends, to trust him, to trust in his presence, trust in his provision, trust in the protection over your life. And so if you are going through a valley now, remember, allow God allows this time in the valley. I can't say it enough, because this is the new way to look at the scripture, because we figure God has nothing to do with the valley. Well, that's going through my life, and God has nothing to do with it. But it's an opportunity to get to know the shepherd. It's an opportunity for you to think, depend on him. A sheep always depend on the shepherd. Remember, God is teaching you something in the valley. Why? Because God is always leading you and me to something better, to higher grounds, to a deeper relationship with God. So I want to continue to encourage you today. When you're walking through that unfamiliar territory, you have a sickness or a disease you don't know how to handle, or when your finances is a little tight and you start thinking about getting a second or third job just to make ends meet, or when you seem to have lost control of your classrooms. Yes, teachers, I recognize you. And you want to quit? I got some of those calls this week. Or when you can't seem to maintain a healthy work-life balance, when parenting is more of a stressor than a joy, or when you're being attacked spiritually by people or otherwise, or when your marriage seems to be so in need of a desperate reboot and one foot is out of the door and your relationships are falling apart. These are all lemons, my brothers and sisters. When you constantly feel, your constant feeling of overwhelm becomes overwhelming, that's mine. When it rains and it just pours and pours, the lemon just keeps coming and coming like a tennis ball in one of those automatic machines that's coming at you and you can't breathe. This is a time you need to remember that your shepherd has appointed even this hard time as one of his paths of righteousness. As one of his paths, and he's leading you through the valley for reasons that is beyond our knowledge right now. With God's glory, we can look at each of these valleys as something, a pathway to something better. Paul said we must rejoice in our suffering. You may not be able to understand it now, and you maybe can see the joy now and the need for the joy to sit in it. But I promise you, if you stay close to the shepherd, he will see you through. Amen? Every single time. You will see his goodness. You will see his faithfulness, his protection in your life. For I know this little psalm right behind this one that said in Psalms 84:11, it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor." And look at this. "No good things does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." Is that you? Is that you? I don't know. I want to say my God is good. He is so, so good because he said, come and see. Come and taste the goodness of the Lord. And if you're going through this difficult time right now, life is throwing you these lemons, you need to remember this verse from Romans 8:28 to give you comfort every single time. And we know that in all good things, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Do you love him? Who have been called according to his purpose. That's one of the most comforting verses you can say when you're going through these things. He takes everything for the good and make it good. Our good in all of this is our trust. We can sit in him and we get to know him a little bit better. We get to know this Lord that he cares for us in spite of us. We get to be in a deeper relationship. We get to go to the mountaintops with the Lord. He's not leaving you behind. Friends, the valleys may not be good, but the shepherd is good. Amen? He is good. And he knows the way through the valley. So trot on. Because in John 10, we hear the shepherd and he's telling us, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Wow. What a beautiful promise. Jesus says, I'm going to take care of you, the good and the bad in your lives. I'm going to lay down my life for you so you can be reconciled in your relationship with your Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Have you trusted the Lord today to be your Lord and Savior? Friends, Jesus is the shepherd in David's place. David was a shepherd. Now he knows the shepherd. He is the one who restores our soul. He leads us to the paths of righteousness. Accompanies us through danger, spreads holy supper before us in the presence of sin and death, and pursues us in his glorious love all the days of our lives. So where is the lemon in Psalms 23? Maybe you're in a valley situation right now. You're not on the mountaintop. You aren't able to see the horizon. You're trapped and you can't climb out. Your lemonade is to trust in the shepherd's provision and protection. It might be dark in that valley, but rest assured, God will guide you, will grow you, and protect you in those times when life seems to be just coming at you. So let's declare it again. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Amen.